Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the royal master leads against the foe.
Shalom Aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. I'm Pastor Steve, and the show is Word for Word. And this show today is for Thursday, October the 13th, 2016. We're going to be covering Ele Debarim, which is the Hebrew name for Deuteronomy, chapters 23 and 24. These are more continuations of the repetition of the rules for Israel. A lot of this book is that way. So let's just get right into it. I will be giving the scriptural references along with each verse. Verse 1 of chapter 23, a man shall not take his father's wife, nor uncover, 1540, his father's skirt, 3651. Now you can reference Leviticus 18, verse 8 for that, Deuteronomy 27, verse 20 for that. All right, verse 2, this concerns persons excluded from the congregation. Shall not enter he that is wounded, 6481, by crushing, 1795, now that refers to the testicles, or has his penis, 8212, cut off into the congregation, 6951 of Yahweh. Now you can reference for that verse, for verses 3 through 5, Nehemiah chapter 13, verses 1 and 2, and verse 3 specifically, all of the book of Ruth. Okay, verse 3 says clearly, shall not enter a mamzer, 4464, into the congregation of Yahweh, even to the generation of the 10th. Generation is 7. 1755, and the 10th is 6224, shall he not enter the congregation of Yahweh? And 4464, a mamzer is a mongrel, one of a mixed race. Now they have claimed that Ruth was a Moabite. That's why you reference Ruth for that. She was not. She was an Israelite living in the occupied territory that formerly belonged to Moab, because she married Boaz, a prince of the tribe of Yehuda, and a prince would not marry a mongrel because his children would be excluded from the congregation. So it just didn't happen. Verse 4, shall not enter an Ammoni, 5984, that's an Ammonite, or a Moabi, 4125, that is a Moabite, into the congregation of Yahweh, even to the generation of the 10th. They shall not enter the congregation of Yahweh until everlasting, 5769. Okay. The reason for this being, they were children of incest by Lot and his daughters, as was Canaan. They were cursed seed. They were not allowed to enter because they were impure. And you can reference the book of Numbers 22, verses 1 through 6 for that. That applies today. We are not to have one of mixed blood in our congregation. Period. No ifs, no ands, no buts, no warm and fuzzy, touchy-feely. They're not to enter the congregation of Israelites worshiping Yahweh. Period. Doesn't matter whether they're nice people. They're not to enter. This is Yahweh's commandment. Yahweh first in all things, folks. Verse 5. Over the matter, 1697, that they did not meet, 6923, you with bread, 3899, and with water upon the way when you came forth from Mitzrayim, and that they hired against you Bileam, son of Beor, of Pethor, of Aram, Naharaim, to curse you. Okay, Aram Naharaim is Mesopotamia. They were kinsmen distantly, but they had mixed. They were Baal worshipers, and they came out against Israel. And they were also children of Lot by incense. Incest, not incense, incest with his daughters when they got him drunk and lay with him. Verse 6, but would not Yahweh Elohecha listen to Bileam, but turned Yahweh Elohecha for you the curse into a blessing, for loved you Yahweh Elohecha. And he did. Verse 7, you shall not seek their peace or prosperity all your days forever. All right. Here is verse 8. They have a scribal error in the King James and many others. Now I will read this verse and then I will tell you what the error is. You shall not abhor, 8581, an Arami, that's an Aramean, 726, for he is your racial kinsman, 251. You shall not abhor a Mitzri, that is a pure blood Mitzri, 4713, for you were a sojourner, 1616, in his land. Now listen to this. The children that are begotten of them in the third generation shall enter the congregation of Yahweh, because they are Adamic seed line, if they are pure blood. Now, Terah, father of Abraham, was an Arami. Abraham was an Arami. Okay, the patriarch. In the King James Version, they have changed this into an Edomite. You shall not abhor an Edomite. Now it shows all through Scripture that Yahweh hates Edom. This is a scribal error, whether deliberate or not. And it states so in the Strong's Concordance. It is 726. Not 123. Aram was the son of Shem. Reference Genesis 10, verse 22. And Deuteronomy 26, verse 5. They were Shemites. They were racial kindred when they were pure blood. They are no longer. Back in that day, the Arameans were our kindred. Yeshua Messiah spoke Aramaic. The racial demographics of that region have changed, and they are no longer pure blood. They are not our racial kinsmen anymore. But they were back then. You were to abhor an Edomite. Edomites have evolved now into and mixed with all the others into modern day Jewry. So they very definitely should be abhorred. Verse 10, when goes forth the army against your hated enemies, keep from all things of evil. The things are 1697, things or words or matters of evil, 7451. Evil is impurity and all that other stuff. They were to keep themselves ceremonially clean when they did battle so Yahweh could go out amongst them and do battle for them. If they were impure, Yahweh could not go out with them. He has rules too. His rules are perfect. They apply to him because he is perfect. If there is among you any man that is not clean because of a nocturnal emission, 7137, that's Karab, a chance or an accident, then he shall go forth to outside the camp. He shall not come within the camp. Reference Leviticus 15:16. But 12, but it shall be when evening comes, he shall wash with water, and when the sun is down, he shall come into the camp. Verse 13, you shall have a place outside the camp where you shall go forth outside. That's a latrine area they're talking about. Okay, you didn't do your business in the camp. Yahweh was in the camp. You didn't do that. Pardon me for just a second. I get these frogs in my throat because of this chronic bronchitis, and I have to mute the mic. That's how it is in old age. Verse 14, and you shall have a tool, 3489, among your implements, like a shovel, a camp shovel. Implements is 240. And it shall be when you sit down, 3427, outside. I really don't need to elaborate on that, do I? You shall dig 2658 with it, and you shall turn back and cover 3680 your excrement, 6627. Verse 15, because Yahweh Eloheka walks in the midst of your camp to deliver you and to give up your hated enemies before you, therefore your camp shall be set apart, 6918, dedicated so it's holy, so that he sees no naked, 6172, thing, 1697, and turn away from following you. That was holy ground when you went out to battle and you had the Ark of the Covenant. Yahweh was walking among you. So you didn't run around in the buff or do your business in the camp. You went outside where he was not and took care of things. Okay, even in modern army camps, they have latrines. They're not like in Africa where they go in the streams or in the field or in the path where they just do whatever they want, whenever they want, because they're animals. We are not like that. Verse 16, You shall not deliver up, 5462, to his master, 113, a slave, 5650, which has escaped, 5337, from his master unto you. Verse 17, he shall dwell with you, among you, in that place he shall choose in one of your gates, where it is best for him. You shall not oppress, 3238, him. And verse 17, you can reference Leviticus chapter 19, verse 29. All right, verse 18. There shall be no cult prostitutes. That's 6948. Those are females used in pagan orgies. There shall be no cult prostitutes from the daughters of Israel. Nor a temple prostitute, 6945, from the sons of Israel. Now, 6945 is a male sodomite prostitute in pagan temples. Ew! We didn't have that among Israel. That was just abomination. You didn't let another Israelite do that. They put them to death for that. Verse 19, you shall not bring the hire, 868, of a harlot, 2181, or the price, 4242, of a dog, 3611, into the house of Yahweh Elohecha for any vow, 5088. Because both of these are an abomination, 8441, to Yahweh Elohecha. Okay, 3611 is a Hebrew idiom for 6945. Caleb, a female harlot, and a dog is considered a male prostitute. That was an idiom for a dog. That's what they called them. They were dogs. Yeshua Messiah called them dogs. Verse 23, 19, and 20, you can reference Exodus 22, 25. Leviticus 25, verse 37, and Deuteronomy chapter 15, verses 7 through 11. You didn't bring their money that they earned by these abominable practices for a vow to Yahweh. It was unclean money. It was made by unclean practices. Verse 20. Now check this out. You shall not lend with usury, that's one word, 5391, to your racial kinsman. Usury, 5392, of money, usury of food, usury of anything that is lent upon usury. Verse 21, to a racial alien, 5237, you may lend upon usury, but to your racial kinsman you shall not lend upon usury, so that may bless you Yahweh Elohecha and all that you put your hand to in the land that you go to possess. In other words, these mud people, you can exact usury from them, because they're not us. They don't count. Okay. They're just you know, I'm sorry, they're just not us. Verse 22. when you shall vow, 5087, a vow, 5088, to Yahweh Eloheka, you shall not delay, 309, to pay, 7999, it, because you would surely require, 1875 doubled, she would surely require it, Yahweh Eloheka, from you, and would be to you sin, 2399. He would count it against you if you did that. You pay the man when he's done working. Verse 23, but if you shall cease, 2308, to vow, it shall be no sin to you. Verse 24, that which has gone forth, 4161, from your lips, 8193, you shall keep, 8104, and do, 6213. A free will offering, 5071, according to what you have vowed to Yahweh Eloheka, which you have spoken, 1696, with your mouth, 6310. Verse 25. When you come into your neighbor's vineyard, then you may eat your fill of grapes for yourself, but you shall not put any in your vessel. In other words, you can have a snack, but you don't pick his crops to take with you. That's prohibited. Verse 26, when you come into the standing grain, 7054, of your neighbor, then you may pluck, 6998, the ears of grain, 4425, with your hand, but you shall not lift up, 5130, a sickle, 2770, to your neighbor's standing grain. You could snack off of the grain buds walking through, but you don't harvest his crops. This is all plain common sense of respect and justice toward your neighbors. You just don't take what's your neighbor's. You don't take their crops. Now we go back to verse 7. It's a complete mess in the KJV. They have continued to use the word Edomite, as I told you, 130. Where it should be Aramean, Aromi, 726, because they replaced the R and the A and the R with an E, a vowel, and a Daleth in place of the R. Because a daleth, which is the letter D, and a resh, which is the letter R, are very similar in appearance. The daleth has a straight angle, a 90-degree angle in it, where the resh has a curved angle at the juncture where it goes down to the stem. And Strong's exhaustive concordance shows under 726 that 130 is a scribal error for 726. Any damage or smudging of the letters on the document being translated could have led to this error. That one letter change also changes the context of the verse. Scripture backs up Aromi instead of Edomi because of all the instances in Scripture where Yahweh claims he hates Edom. It's all through Scripture. He hates Edom. He hates them today. They are the enemy today. The Edomites that are calling themselves Jews. All right, here is a reference for you. Genesis 25, verse 34, chapter 26, verse 34, chapter 27, verse 41, chapter 28, verse 9, chapter 36, verses 1 and 8. The book of Numbers, chapters 20, verses 20 and 21. The book of Judges, chapter 11, verse 17. The book of 1 Samuel, chapter 14, verse 47. 2 Samuel, chapter 8, verses 12 and 14. 1 Kings, chapter 11, verses 1 and 2, and 14 and 6, 14 through 16. 2 Kings, chapter 8, verses 20 and 22, and chapter 14, verse 7. 2 Chronicles, chapter 25, verses 11 and 20. Psalm 60, the title, and 8 and 9. Psalm 83, verse 5 and 6, Psalm 108, verse 9 and 10, Psalm 137, verse 7, Book of Isaiah, chapter 11, verse 14, the Book of Jeremiah, chapter 9, verse 26, and chapter 25, verse 21, and chapter 27, verse 3, and chapter 49, verses 7 through 22. The book of Ezekiel, chapter 25, verses 12 through 14, and chapter 32, verse 29. The book of Joel, chapter 3, verse 19. The book of Amos, chapter 1, verse 11, and chapter 9, verse 12. All of the book of Obadiah, and book of Malachi, chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. And in the New Testament, the book of Romans, chapter 9, verse 13, and the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 16. This is a big list of negatives about Edom. Yeshua spoke Aramaic. Parts of Ezra and Daniel are in Aramaic. Aramaic is very close to Hebrew. It has a few minor spelling changes and some pronunciation changes. You can see 26:5 as to Israel's Aramaic forefathers. Terah, father of Moshe, was of Aram. Father of Abram was of Aram. On and on it goes. It just it never ends. It's just all about Edom, and it hasn't changed today. So we need to realize who the enemy is. And they've shown continued enemy against Jacob Israel. And the rest of these laws that are here, we also need to obey in verses 18 and 19. I told you clearly that a dog is a derogatory idiomatic term for a male sodomite prostitute or other disgusting unclean people. We have sodomites all among us today, so it's getting bad. We have usury. It abounds by the Edomites. They try to destroy us and our nations with usury. So let's move on into chapter 24, brothers and sisters. And this is more moral laws here. I will give you details on these as we go. Chapter 24 is not a large chapter, so I will be more detailed in my descriptions. Chapter 24, verse 1, when a man has taken a wife and married her, 1166, and it comes to pass that she finds no favor, 2580, in his eyes, because he has found a matter of nakedness. Matter is 1697, and nakedness, 6172, that is indecency. Then let him write her a scroll, 5612, of severance, to cut that contract, to stop the contract, 3748, and put it in her hand and send her from his house. Okay. Now, I'll get into an explanation of this, and it may sound a little different because Yeshua straightened things out. And when she has gone forth from his house, she may go and be another man's wife. Verse 3. And if the latter man, 3:1-4, the one that's later in her life, hates her and writes a scroll of severance and puts it in her hand and sends her from his house, or if the latter man dies that took her his wife, she is not able to return to her first husband, which sent her away, and he may not take her as wife. After that, she is defiled. 2930. Let's stop right here. If she goes with another man and marries him, which they allowed, she's committing adultery according to Yeshua Messiah. It says here that she is defiled. By marrying another man, she becomes defiled to her first husband. For that is abomination before Yahweh, and you shall not cause to sin, 2398, the land that Yahweh Eloheka gives you as an inheritance. He said, Yeshua said, except for adultery, you shall not divorce your wives. We'll go back to verse 1. He has found a matter of nakedness with her. She's been indecent. She's been fooling around. So he divorces her. He can't marry her back. Now, there's a difference here. If he just doesn't like her and wants to divorce her, and she has not been unrighteous, and he divorces her out of the meanness of his heart, she's not defiled. If there's no matter of nakedness, she's not defiled. She's a righteous woman that has been wronged by this man. Verse 24:1, you can reference Matthew chapter 5, verse 31, and chapter 19, verse 7, and the book of Mark, chapter 10, verse 4. Okay. There are stipulations here, written and unwritten. Because it says clearly, because he has found a matter of nakedness with her. But if he hasn't and he just divorces her because she doesn't please him, that's unrighteousness on his part. So she is exempt from the rule of being defiled. And if he has a change of heart, he can remarry that woman. But if she has lain with another man in that time after she was divorced and she's been with another man, she is defiled and he may not remarry her. That is adultery. Very clear on that. Verse 5, when a man takes a new, 2319, wife, he may not go forth to military service, 6635, and shall not pass over upon him any matter. He shall be blameless, 5355, at his house 1 year. And shall cause to rejoice, 8055, the wife that he has taken. In other words, he has to take care of her in a marital way for a year. Make her happy. The scripture has a lot of sex in it, okay? That's just how it is. If it's offensive to you, I'm sorry, but that's what's written. We're adults here. These are laws for adults. Sex exists. It's part of marriage. Today, it's not even part of marriage. Verse 6, none may bind with a pledge, 2254. The mill, that's the lower millstone, 7347, or upper millstone, 7393, because a life, 5315, he binds with a pledge. They made their living off of that. You didn't pledge your millstones. You needed them to grind a grain to live. So that's prohibited. Verse 7. If is found, 4672, a man stealing, 1589, read kidnapping, a person, 5315, of his kinsmen of the children of Israel, and enslaves him, 6014, or sells him, 4376, shall be put to death, 4191, that thief, and you will remove wickedness from among you. In verse 7, you can reference Exodus chapter 21, verse 16. Verse 8, guard yourself from the blemish, 5061, of skin disease, 6883, and guard carefully, 3966, and do all that teach, 3384, you the priests, the Lewium, 3881, as I commanded them, you shall observe and do. Now, verse 8, the skin disease is Zaroth. And you can reference verse 8 in Leviticus chapter 13, verse 1 through 14, 1454. 13:1 through 14:54, that whole section is about these skin diseases. Verse 9. Remember, 21:42, that which did Yahweh Eloheka to Miriam, 4:8:1-3, on the way as you came forth from Mitzrayim. Verse 9, you reference Numbers chapter 12, verse 10. He made her a leper in punishment for speaking against Moshe. Verse 10, when you lend your kinsman, 3:9-7:2, any 3:9-7:2 loan, 4:8:5:9, you shall not enter his house to take his pledge, 5:6:6:7. That's an outer garment or your cloak, also used for a blanket for sleeping. That was our outer garment with all the fringes on it. You were not to take that because they wrapped up in that at night and kept warm. It's a big garment. I have a smaller one that isn't a full large tallit. There's a bigger size, and the tzitzit will drag the ground on that. I use a smaller one, but I also have tzitzit shirts that are just worn underneath your regular clothing. And chapter 24, verses 10 through 13, reference Exodus 22, verses 26 and 27. Verse 11, you shall stand outside, and the man to whom you lend shall bring forth to you the pledge outside. Verse 12, and if the man is poor, 6:0:4:1, you shall not lie down to sleep in his pledge. Verse 13, but return his pledge when the sun goes down, so that he may lie down to sleep in his own garment, 8:008, and bless you. He had to have something to cover up with. He's going to get, it gets cold over in Israel. They're on a latitude that is comparable with the northern United States. It gets cold out over there. To you it shall be righteousness, 6:6:6:6, before Yahweh Eloheka. Verse 14. You shall not oppress, 6:2:3:1. A hired servant, 7:9:1:6, that is poor and needy of your kinsmen, or of sojourners, 16:16, that are in your land within your gates. 15. Each day you shall give his wages, 7:9:3:9. Neither shall the sun go down upon it, for he is poor and supports himself with it. 5:3:7:5. Lest he cries against you to Yahweh and it becomes sin to you. The guy needs it to buy food. Come on, lighten up. Verse 14 and 15, reference Leviticus 19, verse 13. Okay? It tells you that in Leviticus. Pay the guy at the end of the day. He needs the money. Verse 16. Fathers shall not be put to death for children, nor shall children be put to death for fathers. Every man shall be put to death for his own sin. Now, verse 16, you can reference 2 Kings chapter 14, verse 6. 2 Chronicles chapter 25 verse 4, the book of Ezekiel chapter 18 verse 20. Verse 17, you shall not rest 5186, that's W-R-E-S-T, as bend away the rights of the sojourner or the fatherless child, nor take a widow's clothing as pledge. Now, verses 17 and 18 reference Exodus chapter 23, verse 9, Leviticus chapter 19, verses 33 and 34, and Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 19. But you shall remember that you were a slave in Mizraim, and Yahweh Elohecha redeemed you from there. 6299. Therefore, I command you to do these things. Verse 19. Because you reap your harvest in your field, and have forgotten a sheaf in the field, you shall not return to take it. You just leave it there. Verses 19 through 22, you reference Leviticus chapter 19, verses 9 and 10. And verse 22, you reference Ruth chapter 2, verse 2. It shall be for the sojourner, for the fatherless child, and for the widow, so that Yahweh Elohecha may bless you in all the work of your hands. Don't be greedy and just take it all. Leave a little for the poor. Verse 20. When you beat 2251 your olive tree, that's how they used to knock down the olives for harvest. They used like a real stiff broom and would beat the branches, and the ripe fruit would fall off. You shall not go over the boughs, 6286, again, 310. It shall be for the sojourner, for the fatherless child, and for the widow. And in other words, your olives would help to feed the poor also. So don't be greedy and make sure you get every last little olive off that tree. Leave a little for the poor. Because if you are generous, Yahweh is going to be generous. He has already been so generous to us. How can we not? Look at the blessings we've got. Even in this time of trouble, we're blessed. Verse 21. When you gather the grapes, that's one word, 1219, of your vineyard, 3754, you shall not glean, in other words, 5953, go after every little grape. If you miss a few, all right, they missed a few, just move on. It shall be for the sojourner, for the fatherless child, and for the widow. Verse 22, and you shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Mizraim, therefore I command you to do these things. This whole chapter is about decent treatment for other people and remembering the humble past of Israel in the land of Mizraim. Common sense tells us to look after the welfare of our widows and orphans, and it also tells us to treat a man that we hire in a fair manner. We are not Jews. We do not cheat people. Yahweh did not give us a heavy burden of law here, but a light one based on love for others. Yeshua Messiah taught this truth to all of us, that we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. We are to love Yahweh, our most high deity, with all our body and all our mind and all our spirit. And our neighbor, our fellow Israelite, is made in the image of Elohim. We are to treat him like that. We are to be generous and kind. even to non-Israelites. Actually, folks, think about it. If they are not an enemy and they are not trying to harm us and they're dealing honestly with us, and if we hire one and he does a good day's work, we should treat him fairly. We are not to oppress him. Doesn't mean we are to mix with them. Doesn't mean we are to breed with them. Doesn't mean that we are to bring them into our home and make them part of our family and marry our sons and daughters to them. It means we're just supposed to be fair within the laws that Yahweh has given us. You can't go around just hating everybody. There are people that are despicable, that are deserving of your hatred. There are people that are not of our people that act decently. They should be treated as they act. If they act decently, they should be treated decently. We are to be a light for the world. We are to be set apart. We are to be known as a just people. We are not to be oppressors. Yes, if we have enemies, and we certainly do, then we must deal with those enemies in a most harsh manner if they are a threat to our people. That's common sense also. In these chapters that I have read, men are to be men, women are to be women. We are to know the difference. We're not to cross-dress. We're not to have among our people prostitutes and sodomites. We're not to be greedy, little grindy. That's a characteristic of our enemies, the Jews. That's how they are. We're not supposed to be like that. They're trying to steal our birthright. Why should we emulate them? Oh, that's terrible. They're the children of the devil. We are not to do devilish things like they do. We are not. We are to be above all the people on the face of the earth. Are we not? He chose us. We are to be holy because he is holy. He has told us that over and over and over and over and over. He's told us that. So let's start doing it. And you have to do it on an individual basis, and only you as an individual can shape your life to conform to these scriptures. I can't make you. I have no authority over you. I can preach to you. I can teach you. Whether you listen or not is up to you. If you're more attached to the world than to these scriptures, then you're not going to listen. You're going to count me as a fool, a doddering old man that talks too much. Hey, you know, you have to hear by the word, and you hear the word by a preacher. I'm not a screamer, particularly. I get a little upset when some things are going bad and I see evil. Evil upsets me because it harms my people Israel. And when I see my people Israel doing wrong, it upsets me because they're going to be punished and I care about them. I care about my fellow Israelites. I don't just write them off and say, oh, well, there's no, oh, well, we're coming down the end of the end days of Jacob's trouble. We're getting ready soon with all this violence that's breaking out to go into the full tribulation. And I want my people to be prepared. I want every Israelite possible in the pen with the sheep instead of in the pen with the goats. I don't want to see any of my brothers and sisters go in the lake of fire. Now, I know there are going to be some that are going to be destined for the second death of Israel. Not all of us are going to make it. But he called me to preach, and he put this love in my heart. And he showed me the teachings of our wonderful Messiah. And how can I not convey this to my brothers and sisters? If I reach one person out there and turn one person aside with the word of Yahweh and get him or her to come to Yahweh and call upon his name and accept Yeshua as a redeemer, I've won a great victory. Just one. It's precious. That lost sheep is precious. I was precious. Somebody told me. Now it's my turn. It's my duty. Now that I know, I can't unknow what I know. I have to pass it on. I have to. I have no choice in the matter. The Holy Spirit would beat me up. Something awful. I'd get a horrible whooping. I mean, it wouldn't let me rest if I didn't do what I'm doing. I have to. It works within me, and people that have never received the Holy Spirit just don't know what I'm talking about. They just, oh man, you're dreaming. This is fairy tale stuff. No, it's not. No, it's not. Well, it's just your emotions. No, it's not. I know emotions. This isn't emotion. This is something divine speaking to me in an unknowable manner. I'm not hearing voices. It's like I'm a computer, which my brain is, designed by Yahweh, and he types in a bunch of information and hits enter. And I just know things. I can't explain it. I'm not a scientist. I'm not going to attempt to be scientific about it. It is a spiritual thing, not a fleshly thing. And it makes you care. Even if you were hard-hearted before, it will change you. You turn your whole life over and become a new man. And you are. If you're sincere and you really repent, which means you're willing to change your ways completely and get rid of the old man and take on that new man, it changes you. Yeah, I've made a lot of mistakes in my life. I've done wrong in my life. But not only am I forgiven, I've been blessed. And I have been called out. I'm not part of this world. I happen to be stuck in it physically, but spiritually, I am not part of it. And I am so happy that I can say that. Because I see what's going to come of this world. It's hay and stubble and will burn up. And people don't want to believe that. I know. Well, I love you, brothers and sisters. I really do. And I'll talk to you tomorrow on Friday, and we'll get into Deuteronomy 25 and 26. Shalom aleichem to all of you, and may Yahweh bless and keep you.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus